Players are starting to drop out of the restart, and we continue our historical deep dive by finishing off the 2010-11 season. It's a Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here of MassLive.com, thanking you once again for making this podcast part of your daily routine. Really appreciate you sticking through this pandemic, through this craziness, everything that's been going on, sticking with this podcast. Very much appreciated. By the way, shout out to Millie's. I don't know, a lot of you guys don't realize when I'm saying Millie's at the top. I'm saying Millie's because Millie's is the guy who sings the theme song, who does the opening theme song. He came down with COVID-19 and he's recovering. But I just wanted to give him a shout out and hope that he is feeling better, because he's, you know, talented guy, and hope he's back on his feet and able to get out there and back on tour or recording new albums or whatever. He's talented. And look, for an old school rap guy like me, I don't give a lot of props to the new guys, and he's one of them that deserves them. So hope you're feeling better, Millie's. Get better soon. Today, I'll just give you a couple of quick updates on what's new in the league. And then in the segments 2 and 3, we wrap up our discussion of the 2010-2011 season. We left it basically at the Kendrick Perkins, Jeff Green trade. So we had that discussion. That was last week. If you missed that, go back and check out last week's show. In fact, if you've missed any of our historical deep dive, go ahead and go back to the beginning, because we start in the 1950s. There's still plenty of time to restart and listen to the old shows, get a taste of all of Celtics history. We did everything that basically from the beginning of Celtics history. Today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. So today we are seeing the first few, or at least couple, players decide that they are not going to participate in the restart for a couple of different reasons. Now, the deadline is the 24th, which is Wednesday. So teams are going to find out pretty quickly who has decided not to play. Two players decided they weren't going to play. One of them is Davis Bertans of the Washington Wizards. This makes sense because he is about to become a free agent. He's coming off the best season of his career. He's 27, and he has two previous ACL injuries. So he is not going to jeopardize his career by playing for the Washington Wizards in what's ultimately going to be a meaningless attempt at a playoff spot. Sorry, I'm a big team guy. I understand that he's part of a team, but this is part of a business, and Bertans has this chance to get a long-term deal. And as it is, the money is going to dry up for him a little bit. He's going to be one of the most sought-after guys on the market. Hell, the Celtics might make a run at him, depending on how the finances shake out. I have no clue what they're going to be able to offer him. I don't know what's going to happen between now and that offseason. But a lot of teams are going to want him, and he stands to make a pretty good amount of money, a life-changing amount of money. He hasn't made a ton of money over the course of his career, so now he's got a chance to make plenty, and he's not going to go and have some freak ACL injury or something like that while stuck in Orlando trying to do whatever it is they want the Washington Wizards to do. Washington shouldn't even be there. You can argue that other teams shouldn't even be there, but Washington should definitely not be there. So Bertans is out. I get it. And so is Trevor Ariza, for a very different reason. And this is just a bizarre kind of custody battle thing. So he is, according to Woj on ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski, reporting that he is in a custody battle over his 12-year-old son. And his mother agreed to give a court-ordered one-month visitation period during the league's quarantine in Orlando. So Ariza, who now plays for Portland and starts for Portland, is going to give up basically $1 million at least. And I don't know how this impacts his future, but he's going to give up $1 million to go and take this month with his son, which, hey, good for him. I mean, this is priorities, right? And I don't know what the story is behind all of this, but Ariza has decided that he is out. So Portland and Washington get to sign substitute players. So this is an opportunity for guys to go in there and play for teams that not necessarily going to be making big runs. Although Portland, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Portland is getting a couple of guys back, Zach Collins, Yusuf Nurkic. But like I said in yesterday's show, they do run the risk that there's a risk for them to like getting those guys back and in sync and playing together is going to be tough. Portland was actually in a position to make their playoff push in a nice way before the season started, before the season restarted, before it shut down, because they were going to get Nurkic back and they were going to get like those 18 games to kind of work him back in and hopefully get him back to a place where he could contribute. But now with 8 games, I just don't know how it's going to work out. But no Ariza, which, you know, he's not a game changer, but he contributed. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I haven't heard. I haven't seen any Celtics hinting that they wouldn't play. Everybody seems to think all of the Celtics are going to play. All of these guys are there. I don't know. If I'm just trying to guess who might not. There's really two candidates for not wanting to play, I would think. And it depends. One would be Jason Tatum, who we heard the reports that he might have been kind of iffy, at least looking for insurance, because he's about to sign his big extension this summer or this offseason. It's his turn to sign the Jaylen Brown type extension, except Tatum's going to get the max. We know he's going to get the max. And any impending free agent is going to be looking at this with a little bit of trepidation, because not only do you risk injury, you say, oh, you know, what if I tear something? What if something happens because we didn't come back the right way? But what if you get COVID? And there's a risk of like, hey, does COVID scar the lungs? Are you going to have the same lung capacity over the course of your career? Like that, you know, in a weird, messed up way, that's going to be something that somebody thinks of. So I would say, but Tatum, by all accounts, is going to play. Like there's no, I didn't bring him up to say that there's going to be any sort of risk. It depends if the other candidate would be Gordon Hayward, I guess, because unless he opts in, but if he were to opt out, would he be at risk? I wouldn't expect him to opt out of this either, regardless. I bring them up as just names to bring up. Like, would they consider that? I don't think so. I think they'll be fine. I don't expect any Celtics to opt out. So, but you never know. Surprises happen. And I'm sure over the course of the next day or so, there are going to be some surprises. And there are going to be a lot of surprises, I assume, for the next few months. Who knows what the hell to expect? I know what you can expect, which is the end of the 2010-2011 season, the remainder of our talk about Jeff Green, the Rondo injury in the playoffs, Dwayne Wade pulling him down and basically breaking his elbow. All of that is coming up when we return on the Locked On Celtics podcast. The Locked On Podcast Network, stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. Whether you are a car person or not a car person, I am not a car person necessarily, you want to go to rockauto.com for everything your car needs. Do you know what things are in your engine? When you pop the hood, do you know what you're looking at? If you do, you don't have to be a mechanic. If you are a do-it-yourselfer, you can go to rockauto.com and get the same price for everybody. No cheeky little discounts for the mechanics while you pay full price. No getting whatever the hell they have in stock while you just sit there and say, I guess I'll take this. Rock Auto has all of the parts that are all offered at the lowest prices possible, rather than those prices based on what the market will bear, kind of like airlines do. No requirements, no login, no membership, none of that stuff. Okay? All of you who know what you're doing can go and get things like engine control modules and brake parts, tail lamps. I can go get my motor oil, I can get a new carpet, I can get my new wipers, I can get the little simple things. It doesn't matter who you are, you can go to rockauto.com. The catalog is unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate. You can see all the parts quickly available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Last week, when we were talking about the 2010-2011 season, we left off at the Jeff Green trade. Today, Chuck McKinney, Mike Dinan, and I continue the end of that conversation about the Jeff Green trade, and now into the playoffs.
The late season pickup market. We keep hoping that one year... one of these years we'll hit the jackpot again, like with P.J. Brown and Sam Cassell, but it has never happened again.
No, I digress.
You know, the whole thing was, in hindsight, I don't think anybody really made out well on that trade. Maybe you could say OKC did with a few years of Perk, but, you know, just whether the trade was made or not really didn't go the Celtics' way.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Green is a, he's, heart situation aside, he's just been your, he's, I guess he's an underachiever, and maybe that's not fair, but when you're number five in the draft, I think their expectations are a little bit higher. So I think that's why you get that label. So I don't think anyone's going to argue that. I do see the, like, you know, we've debated this, we've beaten this into the ground. I see the logic in the move. I just don't think, I mean, when you look at what Wade and LeBron did in this playoff series, I'm just not sure the Celtics were, for whatever reason, they just weren't right, or they weren't poised to give Miami a fight. Even if you took Jeff Green from 2018 in that 19.8 rebound, 7-for-14 field goal performance against the Celtics, Cavs Celtics game 7. I mean, that's Jeff Green's pinnacle game. That son of a bitch played 42 minutes and pretty much killed us. I mean, he was the second leading scorer on that cat. I mean, that he was big.
Prompting a round of online reactions of like, oh, now you step up in the playoffs.
Right. But to bring it back to 2011, I just, for whatever reason, this was just, this team didn't have the right fight to really challenge Miami in this series. They just didn't do it. I'm not going to attribute it to chemistry because, one, that's Mike's point, and two, I just refuse to believe that trading your, you know, sixth best player would impact a team like this. There just had to be something else going on. So
yeah, well, Miami wasn't going to lose that series anyway.
Right.
Well, especially with Dwayne Wade out there intentionally injuring people.
Oh, yeah. We didn't touch on that. That rat.
That play is so in game three of the series, Rajon Rondo pokes the ball away from Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade, trying to keep Rondo from going after the ball, getting a steal and going the other way, essentially tries to box Rondo out from going after the ball. Okay, fine. And then he starts to fall. And as he falls, he grabs onto Rondo and drags him down with him, which is – this is where – now, he wasn't intentionally trying to hurt Rondo, but he was intentionally trying to bring Rondo down with him and create some plausible deniability. Like, oh, I just fell and I just – whatever. That was completely intentional the way he did it. I've seen it.
100%.
Yep.
And so Rondo falls on, bracing it with his left elbow, hyperextends the elbow, severely hurts the elbow, and he somehow comes back and plays with it. But he's playing with one arm, and on top of everything that hurts the Celtics, they win that game, but they needed everybody, and they especially needed Rondo because Rondo made the whole thing run. He had to get everybody the ball, and you take one of Rondo's arms away, he's just really not effective because he is one of the best offhand passers I've seen. Like that was like one of Doc Rivers' go-to quotes about Rondo. That he's like the best left-handed righty passer that I've ever seen, or something like that.
You know, Dwayne Wade, it's pretty easy to go online and find on YouTube compilations of Dwayne Wade's dirty plays. And this is right up there with one of them, or this one is right up there with all of them. He definitely did that on purpose. And what really was frustrating, too, about it was after that, when he was questioned about it, he just flatly denied that he had done anything wrong and didn't even acknowledge it. He wouldn't talk about it. I'm moving on. You know, everybody knows that he really pulled him down on purpose. And but it's just, you know, that's the way he is. He or was.
Well, you know, I'll say this. Yeah, he definitely. You're right, Mike. When you go into that kind of YouTube hole and you look at all the dirty plays he's made, it's really astonishing that a lot of it hasn't stuck to him. Like, I don't think that's nationally, that's part of his persona. I think there may be some teams fans who are aware of it, but when you look at all the dirty plays he's had, it should be attributed to him. He is a dirty player. He's a sneaky, dirty player. So not to harp too much on that, but also watching Rondo come back and play at a high level, it just gave me a new level of respect for him. I really thought it was – so there were still critics of Rondo, but this was the beginning of playoff Rondo. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that because we saw that against the Bulls series in like – maybe it was 2009. But Rondo had this thing about him, just this ability to – he could be tough as nails, and he could elevate his game when it really mattered. And I think he had his best playoff series the following year. But this was one of that. You know, it just was a piece of that. Just to watch him come back from this injury and be able to play and still lead the team in assists and who knows what type of pain he was playing in. But I feel like it's just like a part of like the Rondo legend, and he deserves incredible credit for coming back and playing through it and playing so well. It's just something I'll just always admire about him. I mean, again, he has his quirks, and there's plenty of parts of the Rondo legacy where he's like falling in showers or mysteriously showing up at trampoline parks and getting injured and all that stuff that's happened throughout his career. But watching him in the playoffs, you know, when this like big three Celtics needed him, it felt like he was he was always there, and I just really appreciated the effort he put forth in this series. It was just like, man, this kid's got balls. You know, he's just part of, he's like a Celtic. You know how we like to classify Celtics as just tough and playoff tested. So yeah, I'm gushing over him, but man, I just felt like, you know, he really, to come back and do that was just remarkable.
That's well said, Chuck, because I was always a Rondo fan. I was on Team Rondo in the debate, and I agree with everything you said there. He really had some balls.
Yeah, of course you were on Team Rondo. I have been taking advantage of a lot of sales going on at BuiltBar.com. I've already used my promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off my first purchase. If you haven't done that yet, you can do it right now. They're having a big inventory closeout, so those of you who have bought them can buy 50% off everything. They're even getting a flavor overstock closeout for up to 60% off these delicious protein bars that taste like candy bars. They're giving us an entirely new flavor profile. They're redoing their formula. I already love these. I've got two boxes here. I got another one on my way. I got some of the Built Boost energy drink stuff too. Go and check it out, really honestly, because if you go to BuiltBar.com, you'll see the specifications on there, the nutrition label. Some of these flavors, like Mint Brownie Delight, 110 calories, 15 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. Same thing for banana chocolate cream. And these things taste like really, really good. Go, you can order a mixed box. You can build your own box. You can get a specific flavor. You can get a bunch of other things. It really is delicious. All the protein you want. No added carbs, no added sugars, very low calorie. It's great as a meal replacement. It's great as something post-workout. I've loved them. I've been spending my own money to buy them. So if I'm spending my own money to buy them and telling you that you should buy them, I think that's all the impetus you need to go and do the same thing. Go check out BuiltBar.com. Right now, all of their profits from this closeout are going to be donated to organizations that support education, poverty, equality, and ending hate and racism. So go to BuiltBar.com. If it's your first purchase, go ahead and use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at LOCKEDON Celtics on Instagram.
Can you be on Team Rondo if you advocated a Rajon Rondo for Devin Harris trade? I'm asking for a friend.
No.
Not for me.
No.
I'm asking for a friend.
Well, who did that, Chuck?
Yeah. Well, one of us on this call did.
Hey, we all make mistakes.
Well, if you remember, Devin Harris at that point was...
Yeah,
you going to justify it now?
No, Devin Harris had like two electric seasons. He really did. Maybe one. I'll stretch it to two to justify my point. But he really did.
I'm going to go and find the Devin Harris electric seasons. Because
you might see my name. It might be a blog post that I wrote.
So in 08-09 in New Jersey, he was an all-star. He had an all-star season where he averaged 21 points a game, 7 assists, and was shooting. Well, he didn't shoot particularly well, but he
still,
I can see, like, so he had that one huge season. Now let me scroll down here and see if it coincided with a contract, because that we might have gotten contract. No, well. 08-09 was the first year of his big contract, and that was his all-star season. So he was justifying that contract. Hey, okay, so Devin Harris wasn't terrible. So, but Chuck did advocate for the Devin Harris, a Rondo for Devin Harris trade. But anyway.
I'll always own up to that. Always.
Of course. I
mean, because apparently John won't let you forget it.
No, yeah, no.
I'm not the one that brought it up. If you pay attention no, at I mean, all, Mike.
If that's my bad trade, but when you compare it to John's, you know, John's preference for Al Jefferson and Gerald Green over KG, I'll own that all day.
No, I'm sorry. Al Jefferson and Ryan Gomes.
Oh,
get it?
Oh, my right. God.
Right.
I was also a Team Rondo guy, for the record, as much as I want to joke. I was all in with Rondo. I knew at the end, like, he had fallen out of favor, and for good reason. And it's wild to me how much the trajectory of Rondo's career changed. And it mostly, I would say, it's a lot of it's his own fault, because I will always believe that Rondo is a basketball savant, that he is just too smart for anybody in this game. And the way he reacts to other people not being as smart as him has hurt him over the course of time. And he wants things to go his way, the ultimate super stubborn guy. And that's why he throws the water bottle at the screen. And he just can't handle certain things. And why, when he ultimately in a couple of years here gets traded to Dallas, that falls apart in a huge way, because he and Rick Carlisle are like oil and water. Like, it's just not going to work. Rondo, with the right situation and the right people around him, is, you know, can be really something. But at that point, you know, like, once the falling out with Ray Allen happens, then the whole thing starts to fall apart. People forget that Ray Allen was, when Rondo was first part of the Celtics, Ray Allen was his, like, team hero. Like, he started showing up to games hours early because Ray Allen showed up to games hours early. And the preparation that Ray Allen went through fueled the preparation that Rondo went through. And it wasn't, you know, over the course of time, Rondo kind of found himself more closely aligned to Kevin Garnett, which turned him into much more of a, you know, embracing his inner asshole. And once that rift started with Ray Allen, then the whole thing started to fall apart, and you could then things were like out of control. But for now, at this point in our history, I'm fully on board. Like, I'm looking at Rondo coming back from that elbow injury, and I'm like, anybody who says that this guy should go is a moron, and here's why.
Yeah.
Because this guy came back and played through this, wrapped up his elbow. It looks like he's wearing one of those things that dog trainers use for the police, where they, you know, they sick the German Shepherd on you and they tear at your hand, but you can't feel it. Like, that's how his arm was wrapped up. And he's out there still trying to play and still trying to be effective, even though the Celtics were down 3-1 and he's still out there trying to work. And so at this point in Rondo's career, and as we wrap up this particular season, I'm just more entrenched in Rondo being the future for the Celtics. And I'm looking forward to the day when we ultimately have the debate of, does Rondo get a max contract? I was like, you're damn right he gets a max contract. Look at this guy.
Oh, man.
Which once again shows that I should in no way be a general manager of a team. It's just, nah, I would be the worst general manager in history. But
at least you're passionate about it.
That's right.
Tell us what you really think.
What we don't know at this time is the Celtics have one more good chance with this group, one more, before it all falls apart. We're going to talk about that one more good chance the rest of the week, depending obviously on the news that happens. Mike Dinan and I will get together. We've already gotten together. You'll hear that conversation over the next few days on the Lockdown Celtics podcast. The next season, it's an eventful one, and you're going to want to check that out. So subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Those of you who have, a 5-star rating and a good written review is phenomenal. It really, really helps out. The Lockdown Celtics podcast is the number one Celtics podcast in the world, and it's all because of you guys. Your ratings, your reviews have been awesome. Thanks to our sponsors, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Also, Built Bar, Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. That's the Locked On Celtics podcast for today. Now, go tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Hollinger and Duncan.